Good morning. Today's daf and getting lamed ches. We're starting with lamed zayin amud beis. We're going to be starting at the Mishnah. We are going to now enter into a world of avdus. A couple times throughout Shas, the Gemara speaks about the ownership of avadim. Obviously, in the world that we live in, so it's a little bit difficult to just wrap our heads around. It's right. Ownership of slaves is not something which is it's not contemporary. It's it's pretty much been outlawed throughout the world, but. Once upon a time, this was normal. This was a regular conduct amongst people, and so the number of times discussed ownership of avadim. Obviously, it comes from the Torah that we can own avadim, and so halacha spends a lot of time discussing it. The Gemara spends a lot of time discussing it. Over here, it's in Gittin. So why is it over here in Gittin? So that's a pretty fair question. So there is two aspects to ownership of an eved. When you own an eved kenani. So number one, what you own is you own the guf adavar. In other words, in legal terminology, it's called chattel, but that's all well and good. If you don't know what chattel is, so then it doesn't help you. But basically, you own the guf adavar. What happens to the eved kenani is that when you die, it's part of your estate. It goes down to your children. So there's a mamonos element to the ownership of an eved kenani. And on top of that, there's also isurim as well. Meaning that when you own an eved kenani, so he's a quasi-Jew. Okay, his status in terms of where he is in terms of yadus is he's somewhere between being a non-Jew and a Jew. Okay, in other words, we know that he has a chiyuv and mitzvos like that of a woman. A hekesh tells us that that a woman is chayiv in mitzvah, just like the starting point is that a woman's chayiv in mitzvos of the Torah, and eved is hukash to that of an isha, and so an eved kenani also is going to be chayiv in the same number of mitzvos of that of a woman. A woman is chayav in most of the mitzvahs of the Torah. Her only patur is only on mitzvahs esei shazman grama. So the same thing is going to be true regarding an eved kenani. He'll have a patur on mitzvahs esei shazman grama. Interestingly enough, and obviously this is where the hekesh kind of falls apart, and that is an eved kenani in bris milah. Women doesn't have a bris milah, but we all know that an eved kenani requires a bris milah. In other words, an eved kenani male is that like that of a woman, where he's going to have a chiyuv on mitzvahs, all the mitzvahs of the Torah, short of mitzvahs esei shazman grama. Plus, on top of that, also he has a requirement of a bris milah. Okay, we all know. In other words, the psukim are very clear about this. You own an eved kenani and you didn't give him a bris milah, you can't eat karban pesach. In other words, he's going to be ma'akev you from eating your karban pesach. So it's not only going. Not only is it a mitzvah in of itself that the eved kenani needs to have a bris milah, it's going to impact you if you don't give him a bris milah. Okay, all that is just by way of really, really brief background and introduction as we start with the Mishnah. Mishnah starts off as follows: Eved, lamed zayin amud beis the Mishnah, eved shenishma upaduhu. So you have an eved kenani and he was taken into captivity and other people redeemed him. So already over here in the Mishnah, we are not going over basic halacha, as you can see. In other words, we are into a dynamic in which you have him being taken into captivity. Do you have to redeem him, yes or no? That's question number one. What happens when other people redeem him? What then becomes his status when other people redeem him? So this is a detailed discussion over here. This is not the basics of eved kenani. So eved kenani shenishma upadu. So he was taken into captivity. Other people redeemed him. So imlum shum eved. So what was the kavan of the poda? The person redeemed him. So if his intention was that it should be lishum eved, meaning that we're going to redeem him so that he can continue being an eved. So yishtabed. So at that point in time, he's going to continue in servitude. It's fair to ask right now, he's serving who? The original owner or the one who was poda him? I'm going to leave that question unresolved momentarily. The imushim ben charim, however, if the intention of the poda is that he should become a free person, so lo yishtabed, so then no one's going to be owning him, but rather he's going to go to freedom. Okay, an important detail that I left out of my introduction, but let's just go over this. Okay, an eved kenani. So can you free him? So come back tomorrow. So in tomorrow's daf, we're going to be discussing la'olam am tavodu. Really, you shouldn't be freeing him. There are circumstances where you can be, but really you shouldn't be freeing him. Okay. Come back tomorrow. What happens if you free him? So if you free an eved kenani, so he goes to, he's yatzal lecheres, but yatzal lecheres means he becomes a full-fledged Jew. Okay. This is always tricky. In other words, we cover this numerous times throughout Shas, and that is that when you're an eved kenani, so again, you're halfway between a non-Jew and a Jew. Okay, probably closer on the spectrum. You're closer to a Jew. Okay. By the way, you're definitely not a Jew as an Eved Kenani. You can't marry a Jew. Okay. So in other words, though, where I put him status-wise is somewhere between a non-Jew and a Jew, but closer to a Jew. Okay. When he goes free, there's only one direction he can go. He can't go backwards. In other words, he can't become a goy when he goes free. So the only direction he can go when you free him is that he's going to become a Jew. And by the way, when I say he, the same thing is going to be true if it's a she. Right? It's not going to matter. So in other words, the chayrus of an Eved Kenani by definition means they're going to become Jewish. Okay. And then you can ask me, I'm not going to have good answers. And then you can ask me, generally speaking, when we talk about gerus, so there's always a kabbalah of mitzvahs, right? Are you ready to accept upon yourself all the mitzvahs of the Torah? Right? Sefer Rus, Gemara and Yevamos. And the answer has to be yes, every single one of them, right? If they decline any one of the mitzvahs of the Torah, they can't become a ger. And meanwhile, by an Eved Kenani, so did they go through this kabbalah of mitzvahs? Presumably the answer is no. And then when you free them, are you asking them? Presumably the answer is no. So I know, I fielded this question before and I don't have good answers. Meaning that when it comes to the Eved Kenani and now you're meshachra them and now they become full-fledged Jews, like, was there a kabbalah of mitzvahs? It seems the answer is no, but I know that's strange and that's whatever. I don't have a good approach. Anyway, so let's go back to our Mishnah again, because we're going to be singularly focused today on the redeeming of an Eved Kenani that was taken into captivity. So according to the Tanakhama, there's a difference in terms of the Kavana. If your Kavana was that he should remain an Eved Kenani, fine, he's Mishtabe. And again, it's unclear to whom. If it is that you want to be Podem Lecherus, so then Lo Yishtabe, then he goes free. Okay. Now, Rav Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Kachu, Ben Kach Yishtabin, according to Rav Shimon Ben Gamliel, in either event, whatever the kavana is of the podeh, he's going to be mishtabin. Okay. I can't differ. The Mishnah is, on one hand, clear. On the other hand, lots of loose ends that need to be tied up. And the Gemara immediately goes into a discussion of the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, now wait one second. Where are we holding in terms of the original owner and his... And his thought of, am I going to get back my Eved Kenani? Again, the way to look at Eved Kenani vis-a-vis the halacha is, it's your property. Okay, and whenever you lose any of your property, so we all know the basic rules, and that is that it be lifne yeush, still yours. La'achar yeush, find your keepers. So over here, where are we holding by the original owner? Are we lifne yeush or are we la'achar yeush? It's a simple question, and it's one that the Mishnah didn't discuss, and that's what the Gemara wants to know. What's the Mishnah talking about? Now, if it's before Yeush, and now, when the redeemers came to redeem him, and it's Lashum ben Chorim, am I lo yishtabein? So in other words, he's still serving the original owner. He's still owned by the original owner. And El Alachar Yeush. So the Gemara says, okay, so it's Achar Yeush. So Lashum Eved, am I yishtabein? But if it's now, La'achar Yeush, and you have other people redeeming him, so now, from the Mishnah, what does it sound like? He goes back to the original owner. Why? It's La'achar Yeush. In other words, who just bought him up? The redeemers. So they're the ones now should own him. So how do you make sense of the Mishnah? So the Gemara is going to have not one, but two different approaches in terms of how to understand the Mishnah. Let's start off. Amar Abaye. So approach number one. Lo'olam lifnei Yeush. The Mishnah is describing over here before Yeush. And Lushim Eved Yishtabel Rabba Rishon. And now. The Eved Kenani was taken into captivity. He was redeemed. And it's Lifnei Yeush. So now the redeemers are with the intent of, we want to redeem him so that he can continue being a slave. Whose slave is he? The original owner. Okay. Now, what exactly is going to happen financially between the original owner and the redeemers? I'm not sure. In other words, the Gemara kind of leaves that off, undiscussed. Okay. I would assume... That the owner has to go to the redeemers and reimburse. Okay, but the Gemara doesn't discuss it. But just in terms of saying pshat in our Mishnah, it's clear that if it's, the according to Abaye, our Mishnah is describing Lifnei Yeush, and it's going to go back to the original owner. Now, Lashum ben Chorim lo yishtabe lo l'rabba rishon v'lo l'rabba sheni. But now, let's understand. It's Lifnei Yeush, and the Poden, the redeemers, decided that they're going to redeem him, but with the intention of becoming a ben Chorim. So now he's not going to be Meshubah, not to the not to the original owner, nor to the people who redeemed him. So the rabbi sheni lo lo dehalusha mincha in parke. Now it goes without saying, it's kind of easy to understand that he's not going to go to the poda, because the poda's intention was that he should become a ben chorin. Dehalusha mincha in parke. That part's easy. The rabbi risha nami lo, but this part's a little bit trickier. But he's also not going to be mishabed for the original owner. Dilma mimne velo parke. So because what's going to happen is that people are then going to be reluctant to go ahead and to redeem. Meaning, what's going to end up happening is the following. Again, this is Kodem Yesh. And what happened was is that you had a group of people coming along and redeeming him. And under those circumstances, what do we say? So we say that if their intention was is that it should be for Avdus, fine, go back to the original owner. But if it's to become a Ben Chorin, so then what's going to happen is that people are not going to go ahead and redeem. So the what they're going to see, so that if the intention was that he's going to actually go free, so If they actually see that he's going to go free, so this is only going to encourage people to go and run and run away, and nobody's going to go ahead and actually redeem the individual. So in other words, basically to incentivize others to go ahead and to redeem him. So basically, what's going to end up happening is that if it's for the purposes of Cheirus, so he's not gonna go to the original owner. If he goes back to the original owner, so then no one's gonna go ahead and redeem him. Okay. And Adkan Divrei Tanakam according to Abaye. Shimon ben Gamliel Amer Beikachu ben Kach Yishtabin according to Shimon ben Gamliel. No, he's gonna, again, this is all Lifnei Yeush, and according to Rashbag, he's gonna go back to the original owner. Why? Because Safek Hashem. Shemitzvah liftos es bnei chorin kach mitzvah liftos es avadim. So there's a mitzvah to go ahead and to be poda neved, meaning we have a mitzvah of pigeon shvuyim. Someone's taken to captivity. There's a mitzvah of the Torah to redeem him. Other places throughout Shas, the Gemara describes this as a mitzvah rabbah. This tremendous mitzvah, meaning it's intuitive. Someone's taken to captivity, so we're gonna pull all of our resources together to try to extricate him. And that's not just true for a Jew. According to the Rashbag, it's also true for an Eved Kanani as well. Meaning the Rashbag will tell you that the Eved Kanani has enough status of a Jew where there's also a mitzvah to do that as well. So now we're involved in a mitzvah. So now what are you worried about? People's reluctancy? According to the Rashbag, since it's a mitzvah, no one's going to be reluctant and everyone's going to redeem him. So Bein Kach Uvein Kach, he's going to bounce back to the Adon Rishon, to the original owner. Okay. Okay, good. It's a big mitzvah. It's a big mitzvah. It's more than a Shavas Aveda. Now, Shavas Aveda on items, and mitzvahs of pigeon shulim is on people. Okay. So it's a big mitzvah. So fine. So where are we right now? So in our Mishnah, we have machlokes between Tanakam and Shimon Gamliel. According to Abaye, the Mishnah is describing Lifnei Yeush. And then, just a question of understanding, the Tanakama versus the Rashbag. According Aliba da Abaye. That's approach number one. Approach number two is Rava. Rava Amar Lolam Lachar Yesh. According to Rava, the Mishnah is describing Lachar Yesh. So again, let's play this out. So your Eved Kanani ran away from you. Sorry, I take it back. He didn't run away from you. He was taken into captivity. Okay, sorry. And now, after being taken into captivity, so now the Mishnah describes what happens when other people redeem him. According to Abaye, the Mishnah is describing you gave up hope. You're a miyayish. Now, when you give up hope on him, so like any item that you owned, so when you're a miyayish, it's no longer yours. Okay, so now, let's plug that into the Mishnah according to Abaye.
Abaye says, lift me
yish. I'm sorry. This is now, I'm sorry. I'm in Rava. You're right. In other words, I misspoke. Okay, now, we did Abaye, now we're doing Rava. Rava, amar lo lam lachar yesh. According to Rava, we're talking about lachar yesh. And l'shem eved, yishtabel l'rabo sheni. Now, if it's l'shem eved, so now once again, it's lachar yesh, according to Rava. So now other people will be poed to him. Oh, other people are poed to him. So you know what that means? They bought him. Yeah. In other words, they redeemed him slash purchased him because it's lacha yesh. He's not going to go back to the original owner. Or original owner had yesh. So now he's going to go to the poda. So l'shum evit yishtab le rabba sheni. Now l'shum ben chorin lo yishtab le rabba rishum lo le rabba sheni. Now, if it's ben chorin, so he's going to go free. Now le rabba sheni lo dahal l'shum ben chorin parki. Now certainly he's not going to go to the redeemers because the redeemers had in mind that he should go free. And le rabba rishum lo dahal achri yesh ava. He's not going to go back to the original owner because the original owner had yeish. Okay, that's according to the Tanakhama, according to Rava. And Rosh Hashanah Gamliel, Amar Ben Kach Ben Kach, Yishtabed. And the Rashbag will tell you, no, that he is going to be Mishtabed to the original owner. What? He's going to be Mishtabed to the original owner. The original owner had Yeush. Uki de Chizkia. According to Rava, the way to understand the Rashbag in our Mishnah is that the Rashbag is following Chizkia. So, Damar Chizkia Mimne Ma'amar Ben Kach Ben Kach Yishtabed. In other words, what's going to happen? What's going to happen is that if we don't allow the Eved to return back to the original owner, even though it was Lacha Yesh, and even though the original owner gave up hope, and even though the original owner relinquished ownership of him through via Yesh, even though all that's true, if we don't send it back to the original owner, you know what's going to end up happening? So basically, we're going to have literally, but we're going to have a run on slaves. In other words, what's going to end up happening is, let me get this straight, right? I heard the story that what happened was is that this person was taken to captivity. The owner gave up hope on getting him back. He got redeemed, and then he got free. Oh, okay, got it. So it's not an easy ticket to freedom. But let me get this straight. All I need to do is take it into captivity, and now I'm going to go free, right? Is that how it works? It's not that simple, but once word gets out that once you're taken into captivity, it's a ticket to freedom. So then you're going to have numerous avadim who are going to basically try to take that ticket. And so according to Chizkia, you're going to strongly incentivize all these avadim to basically try to gain this ticket to freedom by being taken into captivity. Obviously putting a tremendous onus on us to go in and to ransom. And according to the Rashbag, it's still a mitzvah to ransom him. But in other words, it's going to be financially onerous on us because all these avadim are going to basically allow themselves to be taken into captivity. Okay. According to Rava, if it's lifnei yesh, it goes back to the original owner. But that's meikar adin. The original owner still owns him. And according to Shimon Gamliel, so again, meikar adin goes back to the original owner. The chiddush is that la'acha yesh is going to go back to the original owner. Okay, so already there's a lot. Meaning, right, the beginning of today's daf, there is a lot. Just to keep straight and to keep clear. We have our Mishnah. Our Mishnah brings down a machlokas between the Tanakhama and the Rashbag. But the Mishnah itself is ambiguous. And then we have a machlokas between Abai and Rava in terms of how to understand the Mishnah. According to Abai, the entire Mishnah has been discussing lifnei yesh. And according to Rava, the entire Mishnah is discussing la'acha yesh. And let's just quickly recap. Okay, the truth of the matter is the remainder of today's daf is all going to be predicated on this outline. So in order to really understand the daf today, so you just have to have the outline clear. So according to Abaye, the Mishnah goes like this. The entire Mishnah is talking about Lifnei Yesh, and according to Abaye, what the Mishnah comes to tell us is that according to the Tanakhama, what happened was is that your Evikanai was taken into captivity. You redeemed him. Not you. Sorry. Somebody else redeemed him. So now with the Kavana. If it's Lashem Eved, in other words, the redemption is to keep him in servitude. So now he's going to go back to the original owner. But if it's Lashem Cheirus, so now he gets to go free. Now, if you think about it, according to Abai, that's a little bit tricky. What do you mean he gets to go free? Meaning, shouldn't he go back to the original owner? Yeah, but if he goes back to the original owner, so people are going to be reluctant to redeem him. So because of that, so therefore we allow him to go free. Okay, that's according to Abaye. And according to Abaye, what about the Rashbag? The Rashbag says, Ben Kach Uven Kach is going to go back to the original owner. Yeah, because according to the Rashbag, mitzvah lifdos. There's a mitzvah to go ahead and redeem him. No one's going to be reluctant to do so because there's a mitzvah in of itself to go ahead and to be podeh. Okay, that's according to Abaye. Masha'ein Ekein according to Rava. Here according to Rava, the Mishnah is not talking about lifnei yesh. The Mishnah is talking about la'achar yesh. Now, according to the Tanakhama, when the poda is being poda la'avdus, what does that mean? It means the poda gets to keep him. Because that's what the poda wanted to do. Po didn't want to redeem him. Why doesn't he go back to the original owner? Original owner was Miyayish. Fine. If it's L'shem Cheirus, so according to the Tanakhama, now what? Now according to Rav, he goes free. That makes perfect sense. Meaning, it doesn't go back to the original owner, it's L'Acher Yesh. And it doesn't go to the Poda, because the Poda wanted him to go free. Good. That's according to Rava. And now, just one more step, according to Rava, what do we do for the Rashbag? Rashimim ben Gamliel? So we say, Ben Kach Uvein Kach. He's going to go back to the original owner. Why? So this is the only way to understand the Rashbag, according to Rava, is that basically, if we don't force him to go back to the original owner, so then you're going to have a run on Avadim. Right? In other words, all the Avadim now are going to recognize and realize, hey, ticket to freedom is that I'm going to be taken into captivity. I'll allow myself to be taken into captivity and I get redeemed and I go free. So then everyone's just going to simply run in and allow themselves to be taken into captivity. Okay. I don't understand your question.
In other words, in his sock, that because he feels that the slave can be ransomed, that you don't need a Rabbanan decision. It says down below in the notes that he thinks that there's no rabbinic enactment. I don't know what that means.
Okay, I don't know what that means either. Okay, good. So Meisve, the Gemara now is going to challenge. The Gemara is going to challenge Rava. Amalam Rishamim Gamliel Kishem She Mitzvah Liftosas Bnei Chon Kach Mitzvah Liftosas Avadim. Okay, so now we're given over here in the following Gebraisa. In the Braisa, in exchange between the Tanakhama Rishamim Gamliel. Actually, the exchange is from Rishamim Gamliel to the Tanakhama. And over here, what we get to hear now is a Svara. Rishamim Gamliel says to the Chachamim, you know, there's a mitzvah to be Podem. And it's the mitzvah not only limited to Jews, but it's a mitzvah also on Avadim as well. Oh, okay. Now, Bishlam Abayi Damar Lefnei Yeyush Hainu Dekamer Kishem. Now, according to Abayi, perfect. Meaning, the way we set up the Mishnah, according to Abayi, so this svara works out perfectly. But El Rava Damar Lacha Yesh Hai Kishem Mishum Dechizkiyahu. Now, but according to Rava, in other words, that's not the argument of Rishon and Gamliel. In other words, that has nothing to do with a mitzvah to be podem. According to Rava, again, it's la'achar yesh, which means what? That fundamentally, if you're podem, the avid kanani should go free. Why does he go back to the original owner? Because we don't want to run on avadim. In other words, the explanation of Chizkia. And the Rashbag now saying, just like there's a mitzvah to be podem, that has nothing to do with the psak of Rishon and Gamliel. So I'm l'cha Rav, Rishon and Gamliel, lo havi yadim my kamar rabbanan. So the Gemara says, the way to understand the Braisa is as follows. The Tanakhama said something. Rav Shimon Gamliel did not know what the Tanakhama was referring to. Meaning, Rav Shimon Gamliel himself said, are you talking about Lefneyesh or La'achayesh? You know what I'll do? I'll address both points. Right? Rav Shbach says, if it's Lefneyesh, so then what's your worry? People aren't going to redeem the Eved Kanani. People are going to redeem the Eved Kanani. Just like there's a mitzvah to be poda Yisrael, so too there's a mitzvah to be poda Avadim. Are we talking about La'achar Yesh? Oh, La'achar Yesh is going to go back to the original Eved. But having nothing to do with the mitzvah. Having to do with the fact that if we don't send it back to the original owner, there's going to be a run on Avadim. Meaning the Svar of Chizkiyahu. So the Rashbag was addressing what he didn't know what the Tanakhama was referring to. Lifneyesh, la'achayesh. The Rashbag was addressing both. And what we heard in the Braisa was only the first part of the Rashbag, not the second part. Ula ravadama la'achayesh, la'rabu sheni. Rabu sheni miman kanile. Mi shabai, shabai gufe mi kanile. So the Gemara says, okay, now we're going to go with the halachic mechanisms over here. The Gemara now is going to go take us through exactly how kinyanim work when it comes to a Neved Kanani. Okay, now when it comes to Avadim, so we know. Let's start off nice and easy. So an Eved is hukash to karka. In other words, generally speaking, when it comes to an Eved Kanani, so his treatment in terms of halacha is going to be just like karka. Now karka, how are you kona karka? In one of three ways. Shtar, kesef, chazaka. Okay? So Gemara now wants to know. According to Rav, it's achayesh. And what did you do? You were podem. And what happens is that if you're opposed to him for avdus, you get to acquire him. So let's go over how exactly, who did you acquire it from? The captors. The captors we're going to assume are Goyim. How did the Goyim acquire the Eved Kanani? That's the Gemara's question. That's the captor. Shabbai Gufe Mekanele. So, and the captors, how did they acquire him in? They acquired him. So, Kanele Lamasiyadav. So the Gemara says that the way they were kona him is Maiseyadayim. Now I'm going to read on in the Gemara, and then I'm going to explain a lot better. So the Amar Yishlagish Minayin Lo Vekocham Shekana So Vekocham Lamaiseyadav Shenamar Vegam Bnei Atoshavim Agarim Mimachem Mehem Tiknu. Okay, and now we're going to go over the basics regarding kinyanim of people. Atem kona mehem Velohim kona mikem. You acquire them; they don't acquire you. That requires more explanation. I'm just going to keep reading on. V'lohim konim zemizen, they're not konim one another. Again, I'm just going to keep reading and then I'm going to explain. Yachalo yiknu ze et ze. Now, yachalo yiknu ze et ze. What do you mean they don't acquire one another? Amart lohim konim zemizen. That's what we just got done saying. Hachi kamer. V'lohim konim zemizen legufo. That's the key line, right? Highlight it. I'm going to come back and explain it momentarily. Yachalo lo yiknu ze et ze lamaisa yadav. Amart kavachomer. Ove kochavim Yisrael konim. Okay, so allow me please now to explain. Here we go. Okay, when we acquire an Ove Kocham, and we're acquiring the Guf Adover. Okay, in other words, we acquire him, the Guf, the entity, which means now, as we got done explaining, that he's now part of your estate. You die, he goes to your children. In other words, you're not just acquiring services, you're acquiring him, the Guf Adover. Okay, now, that's the only time where, in terms of kinyanim, you acquire the guf adavar. If, let's say, for example, a guy buys a Jew on the slave market, okay? As far as halacha is concerned, as far as the Torah is concerned, so he didn't acquire the guf. You know what he acquired? Services. Well, you and I could call it peros, but in other words, it's not the guf adavar. And when goyim buy one another, so they too are only acquiring not the guf, but rather services. Okay, now how Reish Lakish arrived at all these conclusions, it's based on drushes, and I admit, I just read it really quickly in terms of how we arrived at these points. Okay, the fact of the matter is that that's where we are. In other words, so let's now get this straight. So I have now an Eved Kanani that was owned by a Jew. Okay, so what was ownership there? Guf Hadavar. Then what happened? He was taken to captivity. What the Gemara was bothered by is that the captors now acquired him. What do you mean? The captor's a guy. When he acquired, what did he acquire? And then it followed, the secondary question now is that when other people redeem him, and again, according to Rav Aslacha Yesh, and I understand, the original owner now relinquished ownership. I get it. But how do these other kinyanim work? That's the Gemara's question. The Gemara's answer is, it works via Maisei Yadayim. Meaning, what did the captors acquire? The original owner gave up ownership via Yesh. The captors acquired not the guf, but Maisei Yadayim, services. And then what did the captors now sell to the Podeh? Maisei Yadayim. Okay. Now, because the Podeh is a Jew, so not only does he acquire Maisei Yadayim, but he also gets guf as well. I hope all that was clear. I tried to make that as clear as possible. I understand that's tricky. But that was the back and forth in the Gemara. Now, ve'ema hanimila bekaspa ava bechazak alo. Okay, so now as long as we're in the technical discussion of kinyanim, so the Gemara says, okay, when it comes to goyim, how do they make acquisition? Kinyanim by goyim is via kesef. Okay, simple, period, done. What I don't know, says the Gemara, is that goyim can also acquire via chazaka. Meaning when we acquire karka, and again, when I say karka, I'm including avadim within karka. When we acquire karka, there are three ways that we could do so, right? Mishnayos and Kedushin. Shtar, kesef, and chazaka. Now, when I say chazaka, what do I mean? That's a kinyan. It's a proprietary act to demonstrate ownership. If we're talking about actual land itself, I work the land. I put a fence around the land. It's a proprietary act. So that works in terms of cheskas karka. Right? The and again, the chazaka over here, I know it's confusing because we talk about chazaka regarding assumptions. We talk about chazaka being a muchzak, meaning you're the holder of an item. Over here, when I use the word chazaka, I'm using it in the sense of making a kinyan on an item. It's a proprietary act. It's an actual means of acquisition. Kinyanim. Fine. So when we talk about karka, so kinyanim by karka is either kesef shtar chazaka. When we talk about goyim acquiring property, they only do so via kesef. They also have this thing called chazaka, and the Gemara's answer is going to be yes. Yes. So, and oh, by the way, when we say chazaka regarding avadim, what is a proprietary act when it comes to an eved kenani? And the answer is very simple. Rashi over here writes it. And that is that basically, I have him serve me. In other words, let's say he'll dress me. He'll put my shoes on. In other words, so that is going to be a proprietary act regarding an eved kenani. So, is there such a thing by chazaka by Gayim? So the Gemara says, yes, I'm a rapapa, I'm an amav, tiara besichon. Okay. Yes, there's a proprietary act when it comes to Goyim, and we know it based on the following history. Okay, and here I'm going to give you the short version of this, right? Rashi over here goes over this in length. And that is Ammon and Moab. Okay, we're not allowed to go to war against Ammon and Moab. We're not allowed to conquer their territories. Okay, Psukim in the Torah. So now, how did we do it? We conquered the lands of Ammon and Moab. But wait, the Torah says you're not allowed to. You know how it worked? Sichon came in, conquered Ammon and Moab. Since Sichon was able to conquer Ammon and Moab, so now the territories of Ammon and Moab are no longer the territories of Ammon and Moab. While they were the territories of Ammon and Moab, we couldn't do anything. We couldn't conquer those lands. But once Sichon came in and conquered Ammon and Moab, now they're lands that belong to Sichon. Ah, perfect. Now we're allowed to go ahead and conquer those lands, and that's exactly what we did, right? Coming up, by the way, in the Parshios. Right, we'll get there. All right, end of Sefer Bamidbar. So good. So what did we just see together? What is Mechama? Mechama is Chazaka. In other words, it's conquering of a land, and that is basically a proprietary act that now demonstrates I am the owner of that. Right, invasion, national invasion. So not just invasion, but in other words, victory. Okay, so the. Been going on since the history of time, right? Continues to this day. So we know that chazaka works when it comes to goyim as well. Okay, Ashkechan avikocham 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 Yisrael minalan. So the Gemara says, okay, so I know that chazaka works when it comes to goy to goy. I just proved it based on the Sichon taking over Ammon and Moab, but that's chazaka from one guy to another guy. How do I know that chazaka also works from guy acquiring a Jew? So the Gemara says, okay, so here we are also towards the end of Bamidbar. This is Parshas Chukas, where what happened was is that they took one of us. They captured one of us. Now the capturing of one of us is, Rashid says the word Shevi, it means that the capture actually worked, meaning they took hold, they acquired, and that was not through Kesa, but rather that was through Chazaka.
It's by force.
Yeah, but in other words, captures, I understand, but the Gemara is just simply putting on its halachic mind, meaning I know they took it by force, but how do we know that it was effective? How do I know that it served as a kinyan? The Torah described it as a Shevi, meaning the Torah is recognizing that they actually now have a kinyan on the captor.
See, the captor runs away and he's taken back again. Is
it, yeah, right, that's what it sounds like. In other words, it has kinyan. Okay, Adkan, that takes us now through the end of basically our first discussion of the Gemara today, right? Which you're going to keep with until the remainder of today's daf. What do we have right now? So we have in our Gemara a Mishnah, Machlokas Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, vis-a-vis what happens when your Eved Kenani now is taken into captivity, other people redeemed him, and what now becomes of that redemption. In the Mishnah, according to the Tanakama, it makes a difference what the Kavana was of the Podeh, whether it was L'shem Avos, L'shem Cheres. According to the Rashbag, it doesn't matter. Whatever the Kavana was, he's always going to go back and become an Eved again, once redeemed. And now, Machlokas Pshin Abaye and Rava, how to understand our Mishnah. According to Abaye, the Mishnah is Lifnei Yesh, and according to Rava, the Mishnah is describing L'achar Yesh. And the big difference, aside from, obviously, the ukimta of the Mishnah, is that what happens now when the pode is redeeming him, l'shem avdus. According to Abaye, goes back to the original owner. It's lifnei yesh. According to Rava, goes to the pode. And then we just went through in the Gemara, well, how did that work from a kinyanim standpoint? And the answer is really simple. It works. Okay, just to take a long piece of Gemara that we just went through and to really succinctly say it, it works. But what you have to then understand is that when we buy Nevekanani, we're buying the Gufa Dover. When a guy buys a Nevekanani, they're only buying the Masi Adayim. Okay, but still, it works. Amar of Shem and Barab, Amar of Yochanan, and Vishabach, may base a serum Yasalacheros, follow Adol Shakofen as Rabbo, because of Losh Getchechor. Okay, so a statement by Rav Yochanan, and that is that you have an Eved that runs out of jail. Okay? In other words, he was taken into captivity, he was incarcerated, and he escapes. So his escaping from jail allows him to go free. And not only that, we go to the original owner, and we say to the original owner, you know what you're going to do? You're going to be writing a get shechur as well. Okay, so this statement of Rav Yochanan, the Gemara says, wait one second, I don't understand. Tanan. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer ben kach ben kach yishtabed. So according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, so you are going to be mishtabed. You're going to, he's going to be continuing to serve, according to the Rashbag. And Amar, Rav Abba Barachan, Amar, Rav Yochanan, Kol Makom Sheh, Shana Rav Shimon Gamliel, Ben Mishra, Sen Alacha, Kamosu, Chutz, Ari, Vitzirin, Varay, Achrona. And with three exceptions in Shas, Rav Yochanan always paskins like the Rashbag. And this is not one of the three exceptions. In other words, Rav Yochanan paskins like Rav Shimon Gamliel of our Mishnah. So, now, what I'm going to try to do is I'm going to try to take two statements of Rav Yochanan and hold both thoughts in my head. One is what we just learned together. An Eved Kanani taken captive, incarcerated, goes free, he goes free. He escapes, he's able to go free. And Rav Yochanan also says, Allah is like the Rashbag of our Mishnah. What does the Rashbag say in our Mishnah? That when you redeem an Eved Kanani, he goes and remains a slave. Oh, okay. How am I holding those two thoughts in my head? Now, Bishlam Allah Abaye, Mukil Allah Lifneyesh, Vahai Lacha Yesh. So, according to Abaye, it's easy. It's so easy. Because according to Abaye, our Mishnah is talking about what? Lifneyesh. Ah, that's why he remains a slave. And according to the statement of Rav Yochanan, that has just been cited in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Abba, that's where he escapes jail. That's talking about Lacher Yesh. Okay, good. I get it. El la Rava, Dharma Lacher Yesh, Kasha de Rav Yochanan, de Rav Yochanan. But according to Rava, it's difficult. Because Amish is talking about Lacher Yesh. And what happens when you redeem him? He goes back and he's a slave. And that goes now against what we just learned. So Amalacha Rava, Tamamai Mishim de Chizkia. So, Borech Shani. So the Gemara says, here's what we're going to do. We're going to make a distinction, meaning the Mishnah is true. The Mishnah is talking about Lacher Yesh. But remember, according to the Rashbag, what's the concern? The concern is that once I redeem the Eved Kanani, and it's Lacher Yesh, and I allow him to go free, so basically you're going to incentivize all Avadim to allow themselves to be taken to captivity. Because being taken to captivity is a ticket to freedom. Oh. So what we want to do is we don't want to give that kind of incentive. Okay. So that's why, according to the Rashbag of the Mishnah, so he'll tell you that whenever you redeem him, so he's going to go back to his original owner, because we don't want to incentivize Avadim to basically allow themselves to be taken into captivity. But Rav Yochanan says if he escapes jail, so he's allowed freedom? Yeah. Escaping jail requires what? That basically he's taking his life into his own hands. In other words, if he's caught, he's going to be killed. So over here, don't worry about incentivizing Avadim that if they're incarcerated and they escape, so now, what? You're going to send them back to the original owner and all other Avadim are going to do this? No one's going to mimic this kind of behavior. No one. In other words, this requires them to basically take their life into their hands. Okay. A couple stories to end off today's daf. I know we're a little bit behind, but a couple stories. Number one, Amte de Marshmol Ishtabai. The maidservant of Marshmol was taken into captivity. Okay. Again, another question which I get asked often. I don't know the answer, but We owned Avadim until what point historically? So I don't know. I can't tell you the end, but I can tell you, though, the Amoraim owned Avadim. It's clear. In other words, over here in our Gemara, we have Amoraim owning Avadim. So Avdus certainly extended into the Tkufa of the Amoraim. That part's clear. So Amdu de Marshmol Ishtabai Parkul Hashem Amasa. So he had a group of Jews that redeemed her and Lashum Amasa. In other words, with the intent of her remaining an Eved, or in this case, the Shivcha. Vishadru Alei. Now, they sent her back to Shmuel. So Shalchalayan and Kareshim and Gamlel Sviralan. So at Inamikarabban Sviralach, Anlashum Amasa Parkinale Neala. Now, they sent the following letter to Shmuel. Number one, we hold like the Rashbag, so in other words, so for us, it's a no-brainer. Obviously, she's going to go back to you. But even if you're going to tell us that you hold like the Tanakama, so, but don't worry, because our Kavanah was, is that we're going to redeem L'shem Avdus. So either way, you should be fine. V'inu Sarva Lifnei Yerushava. Now, the redeemers made a mistake. In other words, they thought that all this was lifnei yesh, velohi, lachri yeshava. Now it happens to have been that they got one detail wrong, meaning not of halacha, but of fact. They thought that Shmuel already, this was all before yesh. What they didn't know is that Shmuel already had yesh, thinking that he's never going to get her back. So lachri yeshava, Shmuel, lo mi bai di shtaba, lo mi shtab deba. So ela gita dechirusa namelo itzricha. So now since it's la'achar yesh, so he's no longer the owner. And now, if he's no longer the owner, so what? So she goes free. Not only that, but here's where Shmuel is going to deviate from what we learned previously. We learned previously that not only does she go free, but then we force the original owner to write a shtar cheres. Shmuel says that's not even necessary. Shmuel atamed, amr Shmuel amafkir avdi yasal lecheres, v'ena sarach yad shechor, shenemar v'chol avid ish miknas kasev. Eved ish velo eved isha. Now, what does that mean, eved ish? Ela eved sheish l'rishus l'rabba olav. Kari eved shein l'rishus l'rabba olav in kari eved. Meaning, according to Shmuel, the finances and the isurim are connected one to another. They're linked one to another. Meaning, once there is no longer a financial ownership over an eved over here meaning male or female, so together with that also comes immediate release from the status of being an Eved, meaning there's no longer Isurim as well. And that means that according to Shmuel, so once financially released, also from an Isur standpoint released as well, you don't even have to write a get Shechor. Am to debay Rebbe Abba Barzutra Yishtab by Park Ehu Tarmuda Lushum Itata. Okay, so the Gemara now tells the second story, and that is you have a Shivcha of Rebbe Abba that was taken into captivity, redeemed by a non-Jew, a Tarmuda, right? A particular non-Jew. Now, his intention was that he should marry her. Now, they sent the following letter to Rebbe, the Bezin sent a letter to Rebbe Abba. Meaning, what you should do is that you should send her a Shtar Shechor. So, Hechidami. So the Gemara says, now I don't understand. Either Matsaparkule, Lamaligita de Cheruso. So if the Basin had the ability to be po to her, so why would be writing her Shtar Shechor? And either La Matsaparkule, and if they couldn't redeem her, Kishadalegita de Cherusa Mayhave. So now if they didn't have the means to redeem her, so why are you bothering to send her a Shtar Shechor? La Olam de Matsaparkule. The Gemara says they had the means. The Kevin the Mishadrala, Gita de Cherusa, Chabura Mechbre Adadi Parkalei. If he sends her a Shtar Shechor, so then what's going to happen is that people will be more incentivized to redeem her, because now she'll be a full fledged Jew. Ibai say La Olam de La Matsu Parkalei, or alternatively, they didn't have the means to redeem her. The Kevin the Mishadrala, Gita de Cherusa, but if Rabbi Abba sent her a Shtar Shechor, so mitzala ba'ape. So
his tarmedula cares if she has a get or not.
Right.
He
so
he wants to marry her, right?
Yeah. So
why would she not care?
He's a guy. What does he care?
So again,
he's a guy.
She cares.
No, he.
Okay. So let me just finish. La'olam de la matzu parkalei. Really, they didn't have the means in terms of being able to read dimra. Became the mishader la'gita decherusa. But once Rabbi Abba, if Rabbi Abba would now send her shar shichur, so mitzvah la ba'ad pei umafrikle. So now he's not going to want to be married to her. In other words, I know this is going to sound funny, but what is he going to want? He's going to want a Jewish wife. So the then redeeming her will become more easy and more accessible. In other words, he'll be more easy to negotiate with in terms of redeeming her, being that now she's a full fledged Jewish woman. Okay, so one of two possibilities. Meaning, there's a detail in the story that we don't know, and the Gemara just simply entertains both possibilities, right? If they have the means of redeeming her, so then why would he why would he be sending her Shtar Shichur? So it would basically incentivize more people to redeem her. And if they don't have the means of redeeming her, why do we be sending a Shtar Shichur? Because again, he'll be now easier to negotiate with. Because now she'll become a full-fledged Jewish woman. Now, so the Gemara says, okay, the Gemara makes this comment a couple places throughout Shas. And admittedly, by the way, this is not something you'd want to broadcast, but the Gemara says is that as far as the Gaim are concerned, they're much more interested in our animals than they are in our women. So the Gemara says, and I know it's harsh, but so hani mil b'tzinav, but for hes yizil b'um milsa. So the Gemara says, true, that's their private conduct, but that's not their public conduct. Okay, one more story for today. Ayam to dahava b'um b'disa dahava kam avde be'inchi isura. There was a maidservant in the town of Pumbedisa. So and she was being sexually abused. So the Amar Abaye he loved Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Kol Meshachar Avda Over Basay Have a Kaifin Alei Lamaru Ksiv Le Gita Decherusa. Okay, so basically Abaye made the statement of, all right, I'm torn. On one hand, you're not allowed to free women. On the other hand, over here she's living a miserable life. So had there not been an Isser, I would have said we should free her. Now, it's unclear from the Gemara over here, meaning, I know he's torn. Clearly, he's torn over here. What is he instructing people to do? Is this like, is he hinting? Is he intimating? Like, in other words, it's not right, but, okay, it's not clear what he's doing over here, aside from commenting on she's in a terrible situation, but is he also giving instructions? That part's not clear. Ravina Kiha, Moda Rav Yehuda, Mishom Milsa Disura. So the and as far as Rav Yehuda's as far as Ravina's concerned, he took a stronger position, which is we should free her. In other words, because basically it's a michshol for everybody. In other words, aside from her predicament, also you're creating a michshol for other people with her. You should free her. So v'abay mishum isura lo v'amar Rabbi Chanin bar Kinin amar Rabbi Yitzchak ma'isa b'isha achas ches yeshiva v'ches yabascharin turn v'kafa es rabba v'asan bascharin v'amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak. Minig hefker naguba. So you have a chatzi shivcha chatzi bascharin where they forced the owner to forced the remaining owner to free her. So because what people were doing was that people were abusing her. Hachi ashta hasam lo leved chazia lo leben charin chazia. Efshe demiachel la avde. I'm sorry, but hacha efshe demiachel la avde amantelei. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the cases are not the same. In the case of the Chatzi, as we've gone over numerous times throughout Shas, and that is that she's in a position she can't marry anybody. She can't marry a Jew, she can't marry an Eved. She is in limbo. And so therefore, because she's in limbo, no one's there to protect her, and she's going to get abused. On the other hand, when we have the Shifcha Kananis, at least in principle, you could be miyached her to an Eved, and the Eved can take care of her. So at least there is an avenue. Obviously, the avenue is not being exercised, but there is an avenue over there. Gufa.
Isn't the difference here?
We're gonna pause over here.
Isn't the difference here the way they treated her? One is like just having regular cohabitation. The other one is unlawful relation. That's basically what it sounds like. They're not just sleeping with her, they're abusing her.
They're abusing her.
In an usher way, right?
I mean, it's usher, and it's right. It's usher for a man to be with a shefcha kanan. It's absolutely.
No. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the relation that they're having is usher. It's some form of different relation. That's what it sounds like to me.
Okay, I'm not sure if I understand.
You were raising
it. Yeah.
Not, but I'm insisting it could be a different like an usher relation.
Okay, let me quickly recap the daf today, and tomorrow we'll pick it up from Gufa. Okay, we had a Mishnah. The Mishnah says that when somebody when one of your avadim is taken to captivity and other people are going to redeem him. So now what happens at that point? The Mishnah brings down a machlokas between the Tanakam and the Rashbag, and we had not one but two different ways to understand the Mishnah. It's a machlokas between Abai and Rava. Abai says our Mishnah is talking about Lifnei Yesh, and Rava says the Mishnah is talking about Lachar Yesh. And we went through exactly how to understand each side of the Mishnah, Bein L'Abaye, Bein L'Rava. And then over the course of today's daf, we then litigated which seems to be the better way to learn the Mishnah. We went through then the statement of Rav Yochanan, where Rav Yochanan on one hand passes like the Rashbag of our Mishnah, where regardless of intent, the Eved is always going to go back to the original owner. That's the Shita of the Rashbag. And according to Rava, that's La'achar Yeish. It also would be true, of course, Lifnei Yeish as well. That would be La'achar Yeish. And then what we try to do is we try to understand the Rav Yochanan in light of the fact that he also said that if you have an Eved Kanani that's incarcerated and he breaks free, he goes free. Right? Breaks free, goes free. And how does that work with our Mishnah? And the Gemara gave an answer in terms of how to understand Rav Yochanan. It certainly works out better if you hold like Abaye, not like Rava. But the Gemara answered for both Abaye and for Rava. Then what we went over is a number of stories on the bottom of Lamed Chesed Aleph regarding ownership of an Eved Kanani by various Amorayim, right? Stories of what happens when they were taken into captivity, stories of what happens if they're just simply abused, and whether or not we should free them, we should not free them. Again, tomorrow's daf, also a continuation of the discussion of Eved Kanani.